ATL are busy, and there's always plenty of sports to talk about.
Radio on the weekends.
And that's what we're going to do.
Hell yes, we are.
This is the ATL Show, keeping you up to date on all the sports in Atlanta and beyond.
Sports don't stop, even on the weekends. The ATL Show with Abe Gordon is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Abe.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Abe TL Show live here in the Kia Studios on a Saturday morning. Got you bright and early today, Saturday morning, but I'm going to be taking you all the way through till Saturday afternoon. I'm going to hand things off to my guy Chris Thomas at 2 o'clock, so I got 4 hours with which to work with, and we have a lot of different things to talk about. I was hosting last night live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and certainly I was there at the Falcons practice. Had a lot of very strong insight, takes, observations, all that stuff. We're going to work our way through those again today. I've had a chance to sleep on it, albeit very briefly, because like the psycho I am, I woke up early to watch track and field. Because I got to see if my guy Leo Neugenbauer is going to win the decathlon. So I woke up bright and early, but I have had some time to sit back and think about what we saw at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And for those of you who were not there last night, I am going to try and bring to you a little bit of what it felt like, what it looked like, and work our way through it. You know, I've also got a list, and we are a week in, a little over a week into training camp now. I have a list of the questions that I asked before training camp started. I had a list of maybe 8, 10, 12, however many it was, questions that I was hoping to get answered at Falcons training camp. Now, how many of them have been? We're going to work our way through that over the course of the show as well. In about 35 minutes, let's call it 35 minutes, I want to listen back to an interview done by the guys of the morning shift. Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan, they traveled up to Flowery Branch near the back end of this week, and they did get an opportunity to talk with quarterback Kirk Cousins. I want to listen back to what he had to say. And then after practice last night, I had an opportunity to sit down and chat with Atlanta Falcons right guard Chris Lindstrom. And so we're going to listen to that one as well a little bit later in the show. But we got a lot to get to between now and then. The Braves starting to raise some eyebrows once again. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves and what's been going on there. Again, I haven't had an opportunity to chat since before the trade deadline. So we'll talk about what transpired, what's going on now. Another outing for Spencer Schwellenbach. That is really, really turned into something there. So we're keeping an eye on that. And then the Georgia Bulldogs have got practice going. Going to talk a little bit about what sort of team they can be this year. And I'm not talking about, like, can they win the national championship? We know. Like, I mean, what are we doing? There's a little bit more finite details I want to work our way through in regards to the Georgia Bulldogs. So, again, we got a lot of stuff to talk to. You know I'm talking Olympics, too. I mean, like I just said, no one's watched more Olympics than I have. I feel pretty strongly and safely that I can claim that. The one thing that suffered from the Olympics being on is I am way behind on my podcasts. Because normally when I'm walking my dog Chipper, or when I'm even going for a run or driving into work, I'll be listening to a podcast. But because of the timing of the Olympics, I am so far behind on my podcast that, you know, maybe when the Olympics goes off air each night, I can get, you know, a couple of podcast hours in. But for the most part, it's just watching on the Peacock app very, very early in the morning. And all the way through to the end. And I've got, right now, U.S. women's soccer in a knockout round quarterfinal match against Japan. It is still scoreless. I've also got the men's and women's apparatus finals. We've gone through the individual all-around finals. We've gone through the team all-around finals. But they do also give out gold medals, silver, and bronze for the individual events. Right now, it's the men on the floor. You've got Simone Biles and Jade Carey coming up on the vault. You've got gymnastics Clark Kent coming your way in the pommel as well. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that. U.S. men's basketball is coming your way a little bit later. And then track and field gets going again at 1 o'clock or shortly after 1 o'clock. And it's going to be the semifinals for the women in the 100. And then to end the night, or what would be the night in Paris, the women's 100-meter final will take place. And so we've been talking about it a little bit. Shikari Richardson, ready to roll. And she is going to be challenged. There's no question about that. But she does appear to be in the best form. And after waking up early this morning and watching the men's preliminary heats of the 100 meters, I don't know if I can say the same about Noah Lyles. And if I had to take one of them right now to win the gold, Shikari or Noah Lyles, I would say Shikari Richardson more than Noah Lyles. That being said, it was a preliminary heat. A lot can change, including the mindset. And I found some interesting things from Noah Lyles' post-race interview. Maybe he's just saying it, and maybe there's a little bit real. Said he took his competition a little too lightly. Finished second in his heat this morning. Of course, the top three of each heat do advance. I'll tell you, I looked at some of the semifinal heats. My goodness, they are loaded. And you better run the semifinals of the men's tomorrow. You better run that like it's a final. You absolutely better run that like it's a final. But we have an opportunity to see Shikari Richardson do that first and a couple of other races as well. Congratulations to Grant Fisher. Last night, 10,000 meters. Thought he had an opportunity for silver. Got nudged at the end or edged out right at the back portion of the race and settles for bronze. But just an incredible race to all involved. An Olympic record for Cheptegei to win that thing. So we are keeping an eye on the Olympics. It's also the last day of swimming. That'll be a little bit later at 2:30 as the evening session will get going there at the pool. But we've been watching that as well. Atlanta United hosting Santos in a League Cup group stage tomorrow. That's at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They need either a win in regulation, or if it's tied in regulation, they immediately go to PK shootouts. And they're going to have to win the shootout if they want to advance. DC United has already locked up the group, but the winner tomorrow will advance between Santos and Atlanta United. And then we mentioned the Braves, and we're going to get into them in our next hour. A big comeback win last night, 6-3. It may have been 5-3. I think I lost place on the scoreboard there. But big comeback win in the eighth inning. They get it done, continue their winning ways. And Spencer Schwellenbach, another double-digit strikeout effort, another game in which he went deep stages of this one, 7 innings. He did allow 3 runs, including 2 home runs early in this game. Settled in, though, started K-ing guys up. And look, you tell me, any of these pitchers, I don't care if it's Max Fried, I don't care if it's Spencer Schwellenbach, whoever it may be, they give me 7 innings and 3 runs allowed. That's up to the offense to win that game. That's a heck of an effort, and I'll take it every single time. And luckily, it happened late, but it happened. The offense came through and got things going there for the Atlanta Braves. So a really nice performance there. And there's starting to be that feeling. And it's not just the Braves. You know who might start to feel a little bit pressure? And I know the New York Mets were kind of right there, and they're like, look, we caught the Braves, and for a quick tick of the clock, they passed the Braves in the wild card. But the Braves have kind of recovered from that, and obviously they dropped the first 2 games of that series last weekend and got back into it. But don't look now. But the Philadelphia Phillies, and we talked about this a while ago, and we said every team's going to have its hot streak. And every team at some point is going to go through a cold streak. And the question is, where are the Braves going to be when the Phillies are going through their cold streak? And right now is the Philadelphia Phillies' biggest challenge. Right now, it is a cold streak. And the Braves have chopped. Whether or not you still think it's possible, there are 2 months on the calendar. And the Braves have chopped a 9.5 game lead down to 5. And they've still got a couple of games against the Marlins, couple of heads-up series with the Phillies. I'm just saying, are we witnessing a moment in which the Braves, for no real discernible reason, turn this season around? We're going to talk our way through it as we continue through the show. But very interesting, because they were relatively quiet at the deadline. Picked up a couple of familiar faces. No one that's going to save the season. And yet, something's going on there at Truist. And so we're going to work our way through that as well. The Madden ratings are out. I'm sure we're all hype about Madden. I mean, you talk about perfect timing. The people at EA Sports, they give college football their leash for about 2 weeks, and then they start dropping Madden ratings on people, and everyone's freaking out. And we still got a ways to go before the video game drops, but look, obviously this is the summer of EA Sports, and it's a good thing because it is way too hot to be doing outdoor activities, and we're going to talk about that too. I need some help from the people throughout the show. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about the Heat and my inadequacies and maybe how I can address them. It's going to get weird. I'm not going to lie. When we start talking about how to deal with the Heat, it's going to get weird. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Again, it is the Abe TL Show live from the Kia Studios. I am your host, Abe Gordon. You can follow me on Twitter /X at Abe Gordon. Interact with me there. I'm sure I'll be soliciting tips to deal with the Heat throughout the show as well. But when we come back here in about 5-6 minutes, I want to get into the Falcons practice, kind of some of what we saw yesterday, but also what we've seen through the course of training camp. I had a list of questions, what has and what hasn't been answered. And if you were at practice yesterday, feel free to give us a call and tell us what you saw. From your perspective, everyone sees the practices a little bit differently. I'll tell you what, the energy was high. But if you were at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night, feel free to call in and share your thoughts. 404-726-0929. We can open up the phones a little bit and get some outside perspective as well. But I got a lot to say on what's going on with the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to do that next. It is the Abe TL Show, live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back to the ATL Show, live here on a Saturday morning. Did I say it was Sunday last segment? It's Saturday. I don't know what I said. I did not get much sleep last night. I'm going to be honest. I was at the Falcons practice yesterday, and I'm just like, I'm walking out of there, and I'm just watching the clock tick and tick and tick. I'm like, oh, man. By the time I get home and walk the dog, and I'm like, all I can think of is, what time my alarm set to wake up for track and field. Like, that's all I could think of. And then when you have that on your mind, it just makes it tougher to go to sleep. But I was so tired, I was zonked out anyways. But we're here. We made it. And I watched the track and field, and I'm very glad I did, to be honest. We're talking about specifically the men's 100-meter heats this morning. And you know, I have value there. And of all the things that NBC does a great job of replaying, they don't re-air the heats a lot. They'll re-air the what would be primetime in Paris. They'll re-air that primetime here in the U.S. So the 2:30 session, or for track and field, I think it starts at 1:10. But I woke up early. I'm going to be waking up early. Honestly, it might be the rest of the Olympics. Like I might be waking up early the rest of the Olympics. And when I say early, I'm going to try and limit it to about 4 a.m. I can kind of quit the 2 a.m. stuff. But I want to watch an event that starts at 4:05 in the morning tomorrow, so that's what we're going to do. But the other thing is the Atlanta Falcons kept me up late a little bit as well. And again, I was at Atlanta Falcons practice there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And if you were there too, and we took a couple of calls last night, but if you were out the practice last night, feel free to give us a call and share with everyone, share with the audience what you saw. You know, there were about 12,000 of you there. Myself included. There were about 12,000 fans, and I know that our audience right now is listening is a heck of a lot more than 12,000. So there's plenty of people who did not get an opportunity to see practice last night. So I'm going to tell them what I saw, but for varying opinions. If you were there last night and want to chat about what you took in at Mercedes-Benz Stadium from the first team, second team, offense, defense, all that stuff, feel free to join us on the phones. 404-726-0929. All right, so a couple of things, and I want to thank Mark Raimondi, ESPN Falcons beat reporter there, for putting together some of the actual numbers. Because I wasn't really watching it, clicking on every pass attempt and who caught what, and I was just taking some general observations. couple things here and there, but according to Mark Ramondi, Kirk Cousins was 17 of 20, and I know at least one of those incomplete passes was due to a little bit of pressure in the pocket. He just kind of had to throw it away. But in addition to Cousins, and we've been talking about Cousins' accuracy quite a while now, and obviously it's such a sharp contrast to what we saw last year with Desmond Ridder. It's not like we're surprised Kirk Cousins is accurate. Like, that's partially the reason that we brought him to Atlanta. It's still something to see, though. Like, when you're at practice and you're like, boom, right on the numbers, chest, a half a foot in front, guy's still running in stride. And then he does it again. And then again. And then again. And then, like, you're starting to be like, oh, that was a missed throw. The guy kind of had to reach for it a little bit, but still in stride. The accuracy is impressive. Now, again, you're talking about mostly against air. Got to move your feet in the game and stuff like that, but looked pretty good. The other thing that really did stick out, though, last night was the emergence, and it had been a relatively quiet camp for him. The emergence of Drake London last night was obvious. And I think Ramondi had him down at 7 catches. I think I may have saw another number that had him down at 8. I think there was some discussion as to one of the catches, if his knee got down or if it was going to be ruled out of bounds. I thought they ruled it out of bounds in the moment. I also think that in-game, that's a red flag challenge for Raheem Morris, because I did think he got a knee down on that one. So maybe there's some dispute there, but certainly he had at least one touchdown yesterday that I saw. And this was, to me, the first like real emergence of, okay, look at Kirk Cousins develop the chemistry with his number one guy. And it's not just him. Obviously, you've got Bijan Robinson involved. Obviously, you've got a couple of other guys involved. When you heard Joe Patrick earlier on the air today talk about a play in which a lineman fell at the feet of Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins goes down. What he didn't mention as part of that play today, I know he talked about it with me last night, that ball was completed to Kyle Pitts. And so you're getting Drake London involved, you're getting Bijan Robinson involved, you're getting Kyle Pitts involved, and you're working a couple other things. I saw an end-around to Darnell Mooney last night that, again, the defense is limited in the amount of contact that they can create. Mooney wasn't touched turning the corner, and he wasn't touched for quite a little ways downfield. And so that certainly, in my opinion, would have gone, I'm not going to say it was a massive play, but it looked like it would have been a first down end-around there for Darnell Mooney. So we did see that early on in practice quite a bit. They're going to get the ball outside the numbers, guys. They're going to use that team speed. And I almost feel guilty for saying this because it sounds like the premise of what the offense was supposed to be last year without the caveat. And maybe that sounds lazy to sit here and say, look at all the playmakers, look at this, look at that. If the quarterback, because that's what last year was. The last year, the whole offense was a if the quarterback, this or that. We have that whole expectation of the offense again, but without the question of if the quarterback. And so they're going to use that team speed. They're going to find ways to get Kyle Pitts mismatches. And guess what? Guess what? When Kyle Pitts has a mismatch this year, I don't know, maybe the quarterback will find him. Didn't happen nearly enough last year. When Drake London's open, quarterback will find him. And when those guys outside the numbers find space, the ball will be, not only is Kirk Cousins going to find them, because that's only part of it. It's about finding them and delivering the ball on time, accurately, so they can yard after catch. And that certainly is something that was taken away from the offense last year that's going to be put back into it. And with a mind like Zach Robinson dialing up the plays, I think you're going to see the ball get outside the numbers quite a bit. In space, guys make moves. Darnell Mooney, yes. Rondale Moore, Ray McLeod, yes. But also Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. And look, they may make different moves. Tyler Algier might throw that rugby stiff arm right there. And Bijan might make you miss in space. But the idea is the same. Make a guy make a tackle in the open field. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think you're going to see a lot of that for the Atlanta Falcons. The other thing that was a huge takeaway last night was the defensive line. The defensive front was impactful. And again, they're certainly limited. The defense is limited on all fronts in terms of the contact allowed. They're just not going to take any chances. But there were a number of plays blown dead for would-be sacks. Again, they're not hitting Kirk Cousins, but if he's there without being touched, I think you know what would have come next. And so you definitely had that a couple times. J.D. Bertrand, the linebacker draft pick this year, had a couple of them. Braylon Trice was another guy that really popped. He forced a holding call early in practice. Would have gone for, obviously, a 10-yard penalty. He was involved in a lot of that, too. And Ruka Roro got a sack, or again, a would-be sack along there as well. And Grady Jarrett is back, and he looks very good. Again, with what we can see, and you're always going to be limited by that, but there's that as well. And so the defensive front, again, they don't have to be the number one sacking team in the NFL, but they've got to be competitive. They got to be close to, if not better, than league average. And it looks like early on there is some potential for that. It does. I know there were a lot of questions asked in the offseason. And look, you're still going to ask them. Like, nothing we see in practice or in preseason is going to change that. When it counts, can the defense affect the quarterback, force turnovers, get sacks, get off the field? It didn't happen last year. And for a variety of reasons, including the lack of reliable offense in the second half, the defense cost you games. And again, it's not just on the defense or on the offense. It's the whole scale. All of it. But it looks like the defense is going to be okay, specifically up front. You had Mike Hughes working in with the first team in the cornerbacks. You got Clark Phillips coming in as well. Richie Grant and DeMarco Helms both made a couple of plays yesterday. DeMarco Helms hit Ray McCloud over the middle as he was catching the ball. And I know there's not supposed to be that much contact, which is why some other members of the offense took a little bit of issue with it. But look, at the end of the day, Ray McCloud was about to come down with a catch, and DeMarco Helms separated him from the ball. It wasn't an egregious hit, but it's enough of a hit that it's supposed to be, hey, we're not doing that today. And I can get that. But I can also get DeMarco Helms being lost in a moment making a play, and I can respect that too. Luckily, it didn't result in anything in terms of any fights, but it also didn't result in any injuries. And I'll tell you what, when you look around the NFL and look around this first week plus of training camp, the Falcons have been very lucky with their injuries. I mean, you could go all through a number of different teams have had season enders already, Achilles or ACLs. You've got a couple of quarterbacks in the NFL that have been limited. Obviously, Lamar Jackson had some sort of illness, but Justin Herbert, he's banged up. You got Andy Dalton in Carolina. I know he's not the starter, but he's banged up. And so through this part of training camp, the Falcons have been one of the healthier teams in the NFL, and that's a good thing at the moment. So we will continue to wish long-term health for the Atlanta Falcons, including those coming back from injury like Kirk Cousins, like Grady Jarrett. So very good stuff there. All right, speaking of Kirk Cousins, he had a chance to catch up with the morning shift earlier this week. I think it's only the second time he's been on our airwaves in an interview fashion. Obviously, I spoke to him after he officially signed with the Atlanta Falcons, and we've seen him here at training camp. We've definitely heard some quotes and cuts and comments from him in terms of press conference sound. We've certainly aired some of his comments from podcasts throughout. We continue to harp on the fact that he keeps snitching on people unintentionally, getting people in trouble, telling the media that he's not playing in the preseason. Whoops. But the guys from the morning shift, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, they went down there earlier in the week before the practice last night, and they had a chance to catch up with Kirk Cousins. So in about 5, 6, 7 minutes, however long this break is, we are going to go and listen back to what Kirk Cousins told the guys, and then I'll be able to react to it on the other side. The interview's under 8 minutes long, so we'll check that out. A little bit later in the show, we're also going to check out Chris Lindstrom. I had a chance to sit and talk with him after last night's practice. We're going to talk to him, or let you listen back. Actually, believe it or not, these two interviews are almost identical length, and that's because I did a great job editing them. Just to pat myself on the back. It is the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on a Saturday afternoon. Again, we've been talking a lot of Falcons, and we're going to continue to do that as we listen back to Kirk Cousins. But in the next hour, we are going to talk a little bit of Braves, a little bit of Georgia Bulldogs as well. As always, I am going to cover the gamut. Atlanta sports internationally, Olympics talks coming up as well. We're going all over the place, but we're going to continue with QB1 on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon taking you through a Saturday. All the way till 2 o'clock today. And that is right through the heart of some of these Olympic events that I got my eye on. We get the U.S. women's soccer in a knockout round quarterfinal match against Japan. Still scoreless, late stages of regulation here. Going to keep an eye on that one. We've also got, and I mentioned this, the apparatus finals for men's and women's gymnastics. We've already gone through the men's floor. And right now it is up to the women's vault. And certainly you will see a lot of the same gymnasts you've been watching perform, including Simone Biles, Rebecca Andrade, and Jade Carey. And they're going through warm-ups, and Simone Biles is attempting the vault she did at individual all-around, the Yurchenko double pike. And she went down. And not bad. She's fine. She rolled out of it. But obviously, that vault is not going to win her a gold medal despite the difficulty. She's got to land it, or at least come close to landing it cleanly. She completely overcooked it. Way too much speed, way too much power, over rotation. There was no way out of it. She did roll gracefully, obviously, to avoid injury because they are masters. But it just shows you, it just tells you that even the best in the business sometimes make mistakes. And so this is not, even though she is by far the best vaulter in the history of women's gymnastics, this gold medal is not necessarily hers just yet. And she's got to perform at the level that she's capable of. We're going to talk about the Olympics, Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky, a lot of different things that I've witnessed and watched over the first week of the Olympics here in a little bit. In a moment, we're going to hear from Kirk Cousins, but I was just talking about the Falcons and their injury luck. Two things to mention here. Not quite the same luck in regards to Atlanta United. We talked about it. Ronald Hernandez goes down with a MCL injury. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And so Atlanta United pressed a little thin there at left back, considering Caleb Wiley is, one, with the Olympic team, and then, two, now a member of the Chelsea Football Club. So, obviously, Pedro Amador will be pressed into duty. And we talked about the season-ending injuries across the NFL. Another one just announced from the Arizona Cardinals defensive lineman. B.J. Ojulari has an ACL injury, and so he is going to miss the season. Now, the picture I saw was B.J. Sacking Desmond Ridder. So that's what Cameron Wolf of the NFL posted. But actually, it's him sacking Taylor Heineke. So there you go. But again, just season-ending injuries all across the NFL, and B.J. Ojulari is a budding superstar in terms of the pass rushing, and he's going to miss the rest of this season. So a tough go for him, one of the top pass rushers for the Arizona Cardinals. All right. Speaking of injuries, guy coming off of one, guy getting better, guy looking good, guy feeling good, is Atlanta Falcons quarterback Kirk Cousins. He had his first little scare, if you want to call it that, last night at Falcons practice. A lineman kind of fell right around his feet, kind of took him down a little bit, but he hopped right back up and continued with a very strong practice. And earlier this week, our guys from the morning shift, Bo Morgan, Squidbilly, and Mike Johnson, went up to Flowery Branch after one of their shows, and they were able to catch up with the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. Here's what their discussion sounded like just a couple of days ago.
From what I understand, it's your first training camp in the South, right? I mean,
yeah, Richmond, Virginia, and Washington was pretty hot and humid, but. Yeah. But yes, the true South. If you don't want to call Richmond the South, this is definitely warm. It's not Minnesota.
Has anybody given you any tips to make you help you deal with some of the heat down here? I know that it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I think you just got to be in it. I think your body acclimates. I think your blood thins a little bit, and so, you know, I think we're getting used to it, and it's good to be out in it and getting the work in, going full speed, and I think we've handled it well so far.
You know, one of the things that's been coming out of camp with you is the relationship with you and Jesse Bates. You guys are clearly meeting, and Jesse had talked about he's taking things back to the secondary, and, you know, obviously you're taking things back to your guys. How did you guys come up with that and kind of set that up, and how is it for you? What are you learning from that?
Yeah, he intercepted me yesterday, so he's probably taken more from those meetings than I am, but it was also a reminder that he may be a little different than your average safety. So, no, I think it was just in the spring, you know, hey, you know, could we watch film? And we need to do it more. You know, we need to find the time to keep doing it. But I kind of see him as the quarterback of the defense a little bit. He's a problem. You know, it's tough when you drop back. It's Ed Reed. It's Troy Polamalu. It's you drop back and you're like, I see where Jesse is, but I don't think he's going to end up there. And so it kind of puts something in the back of your mind. And it's hard to play fast. It's hard to play decisive. And safeties want to be in their position. They want to do their job. And I think at times when you can know things well enough to say, I'm going to leave my job but not hurt the team because I can go help somebody and go make a play, you better know what you're doing. And he does.
I know that reads will take you certain places in a play. But how often do you kind of go against the read to, A, keep a guy involved in the play and know that the ball will come to him, or just put a guy to bat to build that chemistry and trust?
Yeah, I think you just said it. In training camp especially, I want to see guys have to make 50-50 catches. I want to see guys have a chance to make a play. So, you know, a guy may not be as open as I want him to be during the season, but I'll still throw it because I say, hey, I want to see what this guy can do. And so you may not have as quite a high of a completion percentage in training camp, but you're trying to experiment a little bit and let coaches evaluate and see. So there was some of that even today. And then when you get to the real thing, you probably want to be as efficient as you can. And if you got to progress, you got to progress.
Hanging out with Kirk Cousins here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Kirk, one of the, you know, we talk about relationships with Jesse Bates. One of the intriguing things for me, you know, I played here with T.J. Yates. I actually played in the Senior Bowl with Zach Robinson. Yeah. I mean, those guys, Zach is, you know, draft class of 2010, T.J. 2011. You're right after them.
Right.
That's such an interesting thing when you talk about coaches and how close you are all in age. What's that relationship been like with that? I mean, you guys play golf together, anything like that? And I know that's got to be fun to hang out with guys that have been in your shoes.
Yeah, and honestly, I think they know football, you know, better than me, so I'm still a sponge trying to learn from them. And I had young coaches in Washington with Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur. They weren't that much older than me. And then you go to Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell's only 3 years older than me, I think, 4 years older than me. And Chris O'Hara, my quarterback coach in Minnesota, was younger than me. So I don't really care too much about ages. If you know ball and you can help me, then I'm going to listen and I'm going to be coachable. That's what we got with TJ and Zach.
One of the other cool things, speaking of quarterbacks that really know their ball, Matt Ryan got a chance to speak to the team this offseason. And that's such an integral part, I think, for any Atlanta Falcon is knowing Matt Ryan, knowing his history. Obviously, you faced off with Matt in the past, but what has that relationship been like? Have you got a chance to kind of, you know, pick his brain a little bit about not only, you know, the game of football, but this organization and what has he been able to share with you?
Yeah, we had a good phone call when I first signed with the Falcons. Just wanted to touch base with him and ask some questions about all things Atlanta and Atlanta Falcons, and he was an open book, very helpful. And then, you know, really emphasized, just say, I'm always here as a resource. And I've texted with him a few times, and went back now and studied some of his best seasons and try to take some notes. And when I finish that study, I want to get together with him again and kind of talk through it and hear it from his perspective. So there's more to go there too, just like with Jesse Bates. Like, one conversation is great, but I'd rather have, you know, 10 or 12 with Matt, because there's so much to learn. So we'll keep getting there.
Speaking of Sean McVay and then up in Minnesota, you've been running the system for a few years. How easy has it been, that transition coming to Zach Robinson, his first year as a play caller, and kind of learning how he wants to do things?
Yeah, like you said, there's still changes. You know, it's still Zach's offense now, and so there's some wrinkles. And because I was in Minnesota for 2 years while Zach was in L.A. for 2 years, they evolved in L.A. And so now he's coming to Atlanta with some thoughts that in Minnesota we didn't bring with us there. So there's still some change, and then you add the personnel differences and so we do have a lot of, oh, I didn't know you wanted that, or okay, I better understand that now. So we still have to kind of work through those kinks.
Speaking of the personnel, you and Kyle Pitts seem like you have instant chemistry. Obviously, Pitts had a great rookie season, and it's kind of been derailed a couple of years, but it looks like he is back 100%, and the connection between you guys, even over the Saturday night event, has been really good so far.
Yeah, we just got to keep him healthy, first of all. You know, I think injuries have hurt him the last couple of years, and so if we can keep him, you know, at his best, I think he'll show up. And then we just got to put him in, you know, opportunities to really be successful, you know, give him those chances where he's able to be at his best. And I think we want to be, you know, pretty multiple in what we do and spread the ball around, and he's going to be a big part of that.
All right, I know when you got here, you talked about Cookout was your place. You love Cookout. But you've been here for a little bit now. Have you either gotten sick of Cookout and need something else? And what's your alternate place now?
So we got back from second year high school the other night, late practice. And there was snack, but guys were like, hey, what do we do for dinner? And I thought, you know, where do we go? And a teammate goes, let's go to Parma. And I said, okay, I don't know what Parma is. And they said, well, Google it. So I Google it. The first thing that comes up is a Krispy Kreme burger. And I just said, like, yes, like somebody in this universe gets me.
I've had it.
So apparently Drew Dahlman went there, and he eats really clean. You know, he takes care of himself. And he said to the waitress or waiter, he said, how many people actually order this? And the waiter said, you'd be surprised, a lot. Like, people are just coming in here. And so Drew said that was kind of a sad commentary on society. But I told Drew, I said, I'm one of those people. Like, I'm one of those people who's going to go in there proudly and order it someday. I haven't been yet, but I'm very excited. It's on my to-do list. Get to Parma, get the Krispy Kreme burger, and just see what's going on. And it's not a donut sliced in half. It's two donuts, one on top. I mean, that's right up. That's speaking my love language.
I think that's speaking all of our love language, all right? This circle anyways. So this really hasn't applied to you in training camp, but we've been asking everybody, and we've got some very emphatic answers on the Guardian cap. And would guys ever wear it in a game?
Oh,
and Drake London probably had the most I felt researched answer on it, yeah. But would you ever wear it in a game if, you know, I mean, obviously you can, but would you ever wear it?
I have never thought about it for myself. I guess because I'm always wearing a red jersey in practice, I don't really think about it. But apparently you could get one that would have the Falcons logo, so it would look like the helmet. I mean, if we really care about player health and safety, we probably should, right? But, man, they apparently make a helmet now that it was tested, and it's safer than wearing a Guardian cap, and guys still don't wear that helmet.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I don't know. My helmet's done the job for years. It's done the job. So I think that's part of the problem. Even Tom Brady was saying that when they made him change his helmet of, I'm very happy with my helmet. I've had great outcomes. Why do I need to change? I think there's a lot of that going on.
And Kirk Cousins talking about safety and a lot of discussion about the Atlanta Falcons. A great job by Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson of The Morning Shift. And you can hear their show, obviously, here on the station 6 to 9 Monday through Friday. But you can hear that interview on the Odyssey app anytime you want. Welcome back into the ABTL show. It's Abe Gordon taking you through a Saturday, all the way till 2 o'clock today. And that is right through the heart of some of these Olympic events that I got my eye on. We get the U.S. women's soccer in a knockout round, quarterfinal match against Japan. Still scoreless, late stages of regulation here. Going to keep an eye on that one. We've also got, and I mentioned this, the apparatus finals for men's and women's gymnastics. We've already gone through the men's floor. And right now it is up to the women's vault. And certainly you will see a lot of the same gymnasts you've been watching perform, including Simone Biles, Rebecca Andrade, and Jade Carey. And they're going through warm-ups, and Simone Biles is attempting the vault she did at individual all-around, the Yurchenko double pike. And she went down. And not bad. She's fine. She rolled out of it. But obviously, that vault is not going to win her a gold medal despite the difficulty. She's got to land it, or at least come close to landing it cleanly. She completely overcooked it. Way too much speed, way too much power, over rotation. There was no way out of it. She did roll gracefully, obviously, to avoid injury because they are masters. But it just shows you, it just tells you that even the best in the business sometimes make mistakes. And so this is not, even though she is by far the best vaulter in the history of women's gymnastics, this gold medal is not necessarily hers just yet. And she's got to perform at the level that she's capable of. We're going to talk about the Olympics, Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky, a lot of different things that I've witnessed and watched over the first week of the Olympics here in a little bit. In a moment, we're going to hear from Kirk Cousins, but I was just talking about the Falcons and their injury luck. Two things to mention here. Not quite the same luck in regards to Atlanta United. We talked about it. Ronald Hernandez goes down with a MCL injury. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And so Atlanta United pressed a little thin there at left back, considering Caleb Wiley is one with the Olympic team, and then two, now a member of the Chelsea Football Club. So obviously Pedro Amador will be pressed into duty. And we talked about the season-ending injuries across the NFL. Another one just announced from the Arizona Cardinals defensive lineman. B.J. Ojulari has an ACL injury, and so he is going to miss the season. Now, the picture I saw was B.J. Sacking Desmond Ridder. So that's what Cameron Wolf of the NFL posted. But actually, it's him sacking Taylor Heinicke. So there you go. But again, just season-ending injuries all across the NFL. And B.J. Ojulari is a budding superstar in terms of the pass rushing. And he's going to miss the rest of this season. So a tough go for him, one of the top pass rushers for the Arizona Cardinals. All right. Speaking of injuries, guy coming off of one. Guy getting better. Guy looking good. Guy feeling good. Is Atlanta Falcons quarterback Kirk Cousins. He had his first little scare, if you want to call it that, last night at Falcons practice. A lineman kind of fell right around his feet, kind of took him down a little bit, but he hopped right back up and continued with a very strong practice. And earlier this week, our guys from the morning shift, Bo Morgan, Squidbilly, and Mike Johnson, went up to Flowery Branch after one of their shows, and they were able to catch up with the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. Here's what their discussion sounded like just a couple of days ago.
From what I understand, it's your first training camp in the South, right? I mean,
Richmond, Virginia, and Washington was pretty hot and humid, but yes, the true South. If you don't want to call Richmond the South, this is definitely warm. It's not Minnesota.
Has anybody given you any tips to make you know help you deal with some of the heat down here? I know that it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I think you just got to be in it. I think your body acclimates. I think your blood thins a little bit. And so, you know, I think we're getting used to it. And it's good to be out in it and getting the work in, going full speed. And I think we've handled it well so far.
You know, one of the things that's been coming out of camp with you is the relationship with you and Jesse Bates. You guys are clearly meeting, and Jesse had talked about he's taking things back to the secondary, and, you know, obviously you're taking things back to your guys. How did you guys come up with that and kind of set that up, and how is it for you? What are you learning from that?
Yeah, he intercepted me yesterday, so he's probably taken more from those meetings than I am, but it was also a reminder that he may be a little different than your average safety. So, no, I think it was just in the spring, you know, hey, you know, could we watch film? And we need to do it more. You know, we need to find the time to keep doing it. But, you know, I kind of see him as the quarterback of the defense a little bit. He's a problem. You know, it's tough when you drop back. It's Ed Reed. It's Troy Polamalu. It's you drop back and you're like, I see where Jesse is, but I don't think he's going to end up there. And so it kind of puts something in the back of your mind. And it's hard to play fast. It's hard to play decisive. And, you know, safeties want to be in their position. They want to do their job. And I think at times when you can know things well enough to say, I'm going to leave my job but not hurt the team because I can go help somebody and go make a play, you better know what you're doing. And he does.
I know that reads will take you certain places in a play. But how often do you kind of go against the read to, A, keep a guy involved in the play and know that the ball will come to him, or just put a guy to bat to build that chemistry and trust?
Yeah, I think you just said it. In training camp especially, I want to see guys have to make 50-50 catches. I want to see guys have a chance to make a play. So, you know, a guy may not be as open as I want him to be during the season, but I'll still throw it because I say, hey, I want to see what this guy can do. And so you may not have as quite a high of a completion percentage in training camp, but you're trying to experiment a little bit and let coaches evaluate and see. So there was some of that even today. And then when you get to the real thing, you probably want to be as, you know, efficient as you can. And if if you got to progress, you got to progress.
Hanging out with Kirk Cousins here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Kirk, one of the, you know, we talk about relationships with Jesse Bates. One of the intriguing things for me, you know, I played here with TJ Yates. I actually played in the Senior Bowl with Zach Robinson. Yeah. I mean, those guys, Zach is, you know, draft class of 2010, TJ 2011. You're right after them.
Right.
That's such an interesting thing when you talk about coaches and how close you are all in age. What's that relationship been like with that? I mean, you guys play golf together, anything like that? And I know that's got to be fun to hang out with guys that have been in your shoes.
Yeah, and honestly, I think they know football, you know, better than me, so I'm still a sponge trying to learn from them. And, you know, I had young coaches in Washington with Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur. They weren't that much older than me. And then you go to Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell's only 3 years older than me, I think, 4 years older than me. And Chris O'Hara, my quarterback coach in Minnesota, was younger than me. So I don't really care too much about age. If you know ball and you can help me, then I'm going to listen and I'm going to be coachable. And that's what we got with TJ and Zach.
One of the other cool things, speaking of quarterbacks that really know their ball, Matt Ryan got a chance to speak to the team this offseason. And that's such an integral part, I think, for any Atlanta Falcon is knowing Matt Ryan, knowing his history. Obviously, you've faced off with Matt in the past, but what has that relationship been like? Have you got a chance to kind of, you know, pick his brain a little bit about not only, you know, the game of football, but this organization and what has he been able to share with you?
Yeah, we had a good phone call when I first signed with the Falcons. Just wanted to touch base with him and ask some questions about all things Atlanta and Atlanta Falcons, and he was an open book, very helpful. And then, you know, really emphasized, just say, I'm always here as a resource. And I've texted with him a few times, and I've studied, went back now and studied some of his best seasons and try to take some notes. And I'm going to, when I finish that study, I want to get together with him again and kind of talk through it and see, hear it from his perspective. So there's more to go there too, just like with Jesse Bates. Like, one conversation is great, but I'd rather have, you know, 10 or 12 with Matt, because there's so much to learn. So we'll keep getting there.
Speaking of Sean McVay, and you know, up in Minnesota, you've been running the system for a few years. How easy has it been, that transition coming to Zach Robinson, his first year as a play caller, and kind of learning how he wants to do things?
Yeah, like you said, there's still changes. You know, it's still Zach's offense now, and so there's some wrinkles. And because I was in Minnesota for 2 years while Zach was in L.A. for 2 years, they evolved in L.A. And so now he's coming to Atlanta with some thoughts that in Minnesota we didn't bring with us there. So there's still some change, and then you add the personnel differences, and so we do have a lot of, oh, I didn't know you wanted that, or okay, I better understand that now. So we still have to kind of work through those kinks.
Speaking of the personnel, you and Kyle Pitts seem like you have instant chemistry. Obviously, Pitts had a great rookie season, and it's kind of been derailed a couple of years, but it looks like he is back 100%, and the connection between you guys, even over the Saturday night event, has been really good so far.
Yeah, we just got to keep him healthy, first of all. You know, I think injuries have hurt him the last couple of years, and so if we can keep him, you know, at his best, I think he'll show up. And then we just got to put him in, you know, opportunities to really be successful. You know, give him those chances where he's able to be at his best. And I think we want to be, you know, pretty multiple in what we do and spread the ball around. And he's gonna be a big part of that.
All right, I know when you got here, you talked about Cookout was your place. You love Cookout. But you've been here for a little bit now. Have you either gotten sick of Cookout and need something else? And what's your alternate place now?
So we got back from second year high school the other night, late practice. And there was snack, but guys were like, hey, what do we do for dinner? And I thought, you know, where do we go? And a teammate goes, let's go to Parma. And I said, okay, I don't know. I don't know what Parma is. And they said, well, Google it. So I Googled it. The first thing that comes up is a Krispy Kreme burger. And I just said, like, yes, like somebody in this universe gets me.
I've had it.
So apparently Drew Dahlman went there, and he eats really clean. You know, he takes care of himself. And he said to the waitress or waiter, he said, how many people actually order this? And the waiter said, you'd be surprised, a lot. Like, people are just coming in here. And so Drew said that was kind of a sad commentary on society. But I told Drew, I said, I'm one of those people. Like, I'm one of those people who's going to go in there proudly and order it someday. I haven't been yet, but I'm very excited. It's on my to-do list. Get to Parma, get the Krispy Kreme burger, and just see what's going on. And it's not a donut sliced in half. It's two donuts, one on top. I mean, that's right up. That's speaking my love language.
I think that's speaking all of our love language, all right? This circle anyways. So this really hasn't applied to you in training camp, but we've been asking everybody, and we've got some very emphatic answers on the Guardian cap. And would guys ever wear it in a game?
Oh,
and there's, and Drake London probably had the most I felt researched answer on it, yeah. But would you ever wear it in a game if, you know, I mean, obviously you can, but would you ever wear it?
I have never thought about it for myself. I guess because I'm always wearing a red jersey in practice, I don't really think about it. But apparently you could get one that would have the Falcons logo, so it would look like the helmet. And if we really care about player health and safety, we probably should, right? But, man, they make a helmet now that it was tested, and it's safer than wearing a Guardian cap. And guys still don't wear that helmet. So I don't really know. I don't know. My helmet's done the job for years. It's done the job. So I think that's part of the problem. Even Tom Brady was saying that when they made him change his helmet of, I'm very happy with my helmet. I've had great outcomes. Why do I need to change? I think there's a lot of that going on.
And Kirk Cousins talking about safety and a lot of discussion about the Atlanta Falcons. A great job by Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson of the Morning Shift. And you can hear their show, obviously, here on the station 6 to 9 Monday through Friday. But you can hear that interview on the Odyssey app anytime you would like. Just go ahead and make sure you follow 92.9 The Game there on the Odyssey app. All right. We've talked a lot about the Atlanta Falcons, and we're not done with Falcons discussion on the day. We're going to talk about them a little bit at the next hour, and you'll hear from Chris Lindstrom, who I caught up with after practice yesterday at 12:20, and then we'll circle back to some of the Falcons training camp questions and what has and has not been answered in a little bit. Simone Biles is getting ready to attempt her vault. If she lands the Yurchenko double pike, she almost certainly will be gold medalist on the vault. But again, she fell on this maneuver in warm-up. So we're going to take a look at that. And the U.S. women's soccer team is headed to extra time against Japan in their quarterfinal knockout stage. So that's what we are looking at. When we come back, we're going to find if Simone Biles gets another gold medal to add to her total and tally. Real quick hint, probably. But we're also going to talk about the Atlanta Braves. And you're going to talk about a team that in the course of a week has certainly changed the narrative a little bit. Why? What happened? Don't tell me it's Luke Jackson and Jorge Soler. Because there's no way they made the Phillies lose 7 of their last 8 or 6 of their last 7, whatever the number is, for them to be plummeting as well. But something's going on. Maybe something we weren't aware of. I don't know. We're going to try and figure it all out together. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia studios. John Travolta there in Paris for the Olympics. From Paris with Love, right? That was the old movie he was in. Terrible film. That's all right. Allison Felix. Pharrell. I mean, what a great showing for Simone Biles, Jade Carey, and a lot of the other Olympians there as they continue to stand out for the celebs. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves baseball team and what's going on there in Truist. Things have turned. One reason or another, things have turned, and I like to see it. More coming your way. It's the Abe TL Show on a Saturday afternoon live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.